Welcome to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. It's one of the key components of beer and the one that probably gets the least attention unless there's something wrong with it. Carbonation gives beer its bubbly effervescence and that wonderful foamy head.
Oft forgotten. Well, actually, it's maybe not recognized until it's absolutely gone or it becomes really
Or until
full.
It's super over-carbonated.
Becomes
I
really
run into a few
off.
Of those, too. Gushers.
So, the carbonation element is, obviously, we're talking about the CO2 being trapped in the beer.
The bubbles.
The bubbles. And that's what kind of, it's very definitive of a lot of the beer styles, either with carbonation or with a lack of carbonation.
That's Seth Cook from Woodlegs Brewing in Brookings. He says the process of making beer produces CO2, so beer's always been somewhat bubbly.
When we brew beer, the yeast consumes the sugar, it produces alcohol, it produces flavors, and it produces CO2. So that's what makes the bubbles.
That's one of the wonderful side effects of yeast, really.
Right, right. Those yeast bubbles, well, those exist in sparkling wines. That's how things, champagnes, that's how things have been carbonated historically. If we fast forward to today, most breweries add carbonation back in by forcing gas back into it. And at the brewery here, we use actually beverage-grade gas, so there is a difference. It's done right before it's tapped. We carbonate the tanks.
The gas produced during fermentation is allowed to bubble off, leaving pretty flat beer. That's why breweries add it back, but it's also possible to produce it with yeast naturally.
But back in the day, they used to take a beer that was finished and put it in a closed vessel. The closed vessel, of course, would have some residual yeast and residual sugars, and it would continue to ferment. Although not really actively and wildly, it still would ferment, and that would cause pressure and, as importantly, bubbles to be built into the beer. And then if you were to tap them, that's where you would get the bubbles and the foam.
Home brewers naturally carbonate their beer by adding a little sugar before bottling. However, commercial brewers add carbonation because it's far more precise.
But when you start having your bottles get shipped all over and of course, if the bottle gets too warm, any home brewer knows this, or if something isn't exactly right,
the yeast goes crazy.
That's right. It turns into a bottle bomb, and you'll start breaking out bottles, and nobody wants to be the brewer responsible with a whole bunch of busted cases on the liquor store floor or something. So more often than not, those are carbonated before they're put in the bottle or in the can.
More on those magic bubbles when Beer Untapped continues.
Tonight in a bar alone I'm sitting.
Yes?
Apart from the laughter and the cheer.
That's not good.
While scenes from the past rise before me. Just watching the bubbles in my beer.
Welcome back to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller as we discuss a key but sometimes overlooked element of beer with Seth Cook from Woodlegs Brewing, carbonation. It can vary a lot depending on style.
So a Pilsner, and some of those European lagers, especially Americanized Pilsners, are quite bubbly. I mean, they're not quite to the level of soda pop. Soda pop is crazy carbonated, but they are quite bubbly, whereas some of the British style beers, by design, really don't have the carbonation, the bubbles to them, like some of the stouts and some of the porters. Carbonation also contributes, especially CO2. If you've ever smelled CO2, don't do this, Carl. Obviously, pure CO2 environments are dangerous. There's no oxygen in there. It will kill you. If you were to smell CO2, it has a distinct sharpness to it, might be the best
word
to
it. Yeah.
So when you add CO2 to beer, the more carbonation you add to a beer, the more perceptual sharpness you can get to it. So you can, some people would even call it like a CO2 burn.
A lot of IPAs are fairly well carbonated because of that perceived sharpness and because it enhances the aromatics of the hops. It does that in part through building the perfect head.
Any beer is going to be served a little better with the appropriate amount of head and carbonation to it. You may go to a large sporting football, baseball, hockey stadium, and you want the stadium pour because you're paying $45, and you want it to go right to the very top with no head on it. And that's probably from an economic sense that maybe that's what you want to do. But from the actual beer sense, you want to make sure that you've got a good, appropriate level of head on there because that's where some of the aromatics come out. That helps lock in some of the flavor underneath it. The bubbles and everything just make the beer a better experience.
The head of the beer, vital to the full experience of drinking a good beer.
Always try to get the appropriate amount of head on a beer. Now, you don't want to foam in your cup, but when you're out drinking beer, the American Shaker pint glass, the pub glass that you guys see all the time, is a 16-ounce glass. And when appropriately poured with the right amount of head, you perfectly fit a 12-ounce can of beer in a 16-ounce glass. I know that sounds weird because it's a 16-ounce glass. But if appropriately poured, if you do it correct, you should have a 16-ounce shaker glass, pour in your can of beer, and that is going to be there's a good home experiment. That is really how a beer should look and how it should be for the amount of head on it.
If someone pours you a beer without a head, that's not a proper pour. Now on to other matters. A favorite semi-regular event coming Saturday to Wooden Legs, Oak Smoke and Folk.
We actually have some cellared beers that you don't even know about that have been tucked away in the back. We're going to be tapping those for the oaked version of the Oak Smoke and Folk. I'll be smoking some pork loin for the smoked version, and we've got a couple bands lined up for the folk music part of it. So for those of you that aren't familiar with the event, it's beer, smoked food, and folk music. There's no cover. The plates are pretty reasonably priced for the foods, and the beers are exclusive and probably the only time you'll have the chance to drink them because there's only about 5 gallons of each. So September 9th, follow us on Facebook and all of our social media, but at Oak Smoke and Folk, and it's always a good time.
Let's head over to Brookings Liquor Store and see what's new on tap with our beer guide, Drew Eklund.
From Take 16, it's Laverne Lager, $7.68 for a 64-ounce growler fill. This beer was brewed in celebration of the city of Laverne's founding 150 years ago. Really easy to drink. It has a really nice toffee flavor, I think. Caramel, toffee, sweeter, but not over the top. The next one on tap from Brow Brothers, it's Three Trees IPA, $10.24 for a 64-ounce growler fill. El Dorado and Citra hops were used to give the beer a tropical fruit citrus flavor. They did a great job.
And the authentic German Oktoberfest beers have arrived at Brookings Liquor Store, some of my favorites. Check out the great Fest beers from Weihenstephaner, Eyinger, and Hofbräu. There are plenty of excellent American versions at the store as well. That's it for this week's show. Until next time, drink local and drink responsibly.